السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه. So those of you who may have not been following it, so we are now right towards the ending of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه's Mubarak life. So we are discussing the point now where Jerusalem was conquered and Umar radiallahu anhu now came to fetch the keys. So when Umar radiallahu anhu came to the Levant, so Levant is what we refer to as Sham. Sham is not just Syria, it's a whole area there. Jordan, Syria, portion of Iraq, portion of Iran, all this forms the Levant. So Umar radiallahu anhu was riding on a donkey when he came, with his feet dangling on one side. So this incident is a very famous incident. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was coming, so he was traveling with his slave. And as was the habit from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, that some two, three of them would share one conveyance. So they would take turns. That, for example, in our terminology now, for 1 kilometer I'll ride, you walk. 1 kilometer, you know, we'll swap places. So it so happened that when Umar radiallahu anhu neared the Levant, at that time he was walking, the slave was riding, and Umar radiallahu anhu had to pass through some water also. So eventually when he came, now in Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they are seeing Umar radiallahu anhu in this condition, so they thinking now that he is going to go and meet with all these, you know, big shots that we will see. He can't go like this. I mean, what they think of the Muslim Ummah now, a leader, Amirul Mu'mineen, and how he's coming with a donkey now like this, so many patches on his clothing and all that. How he's going to go and meet them like this? So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said to him that, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, you are about to meet the dignitaries of another nation, all the top brass. You're going to meet with them. You are about to meet the dignitaries of another nation." So Umar radiallahu anhu replied to him. He said, "Allah Ta'ala, the Almighty, has brought honor to the Muslims through Islam. Azzanallahu bil Islam. Allah gave us respect through Islam." In other words, not through material things, not through how we dress and all that. Our respect and our honor is in following the deen of Islam. The kuffar are agents of shaitan. When we talk about the kuffar, you must remember shaitan's hand is behind. They have fooled us into thinking that our honor now is in what kind of brand clothes I'm wearing, what vehicle I'm driving, which neighborhood I'm living in, what kind of cell phone I got. So a person is chasing these things, whereas not everybody is going to be able to afford it. Because as we did the other day, our rozi is determined by Allah Ta'ala. So a person is either frustrated and depressed because he can't get these things, now he's not getting recognition. Or the person who got it, now he starts having a sense of pride, sense of ujub. Illa mashallah, there are some very wealthy people, but they are so down to earth. And there are some very poor people. It's a sign of Qiyamah, right? A sign of Qiyamah, that people who are lowly people, now they are boasting over big buildings. So you find this in today's zamana also. A person now, he can't afford a certain thing. So what he does, he go and buy the fake and act like he got the real thing. just to fit in. Whereas that's not our life. That's not our life. It got nothing to do with us. If Allah Ta'ala gave, we make shukr, we make use of it, and we remember Allah Ta'ala more. We use it to uplift the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And if Allah Pak never give, then no problem, we make sabr. We make sabr, we are happy for those whom Allah gave, you know, jealous of them, Allah must give them more, and we are content with whatever Allah Ta'ala gave us. A mu'min doesn't chase. But today we are caught up in chasing. Caught up in chasing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about this. That you will now start competing with one another. And then it will destroy you like it destroyed the people before you. Jeez, Umar Ridwan, he set the record straight. He said that Allah give us izzat through Islam, not through anything else. Then he said, if you seek honor in something other than Islam, Allah Ta'ala will disgrace you. Allah will disgrace you. When Umar radiallahu anhu reached a place called Jabiyah, so he delivered a khutbah there. So this khutbah, Umar radiallahu anhu said that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too had stood like me. And he said, be good to my companions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving counsel. He said, be good to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then the ones who came after that and the ones who came after that, the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Tabu'uk Tabi'in. Then a people would come, one of whom would swear under oath before being asked to do so. That means a person becomes so bold. Right? See, to take an oath and say something is a very serious matter if we have the fear of Allah. But when the fear of Allah Ta'ala is not there, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala is not there, then it becomes very easy to take an oath. Because a person is not worried about the consequences. Right? He's not worried about the consequences. So now when he doesn't have the greatness of Allah Ta'ala at heart, then he can just take an oath just like that. He will give testimony even before being asked to. One is if you are called to give testimony, the Qazi summons you or there's a matter, then you have to give testimony. Whatever you saw, you have to say, whether it goes against you, against a family member of yours, against a friend of yours, you have to be honest, you have to say it as it is. But now, you're not called, but you're jumping front to go give testimony. So in other words, the fear of Allah Ta'ala will go away from the heart. Whosoever among you desires the comforts of Jannat, then he must stick to the main body of Muslims. Stick to the Jama'ah. Stick to the main body of Muslims. Because Shaitan is with the single person. The lone sheep is what the wolf attacks. When a person, he thinks, you know, he is going to free think. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us that quite a few young ulama are here with us. Some are almost completing, some have completed. One friend is making lot of sabr. I won't tell you all who he knows. What sabr he's making, Allah give him ajr on his sabr. Our own joke, our own between us, can't share it with you. So some are completed, some have just completed, some are almost completing. So this is a major advice, no? Very, very big advice, that always stick to the Jama'ah. Stick to, remain under your asatiza's gaze, your mashayikh's gaze. Don't free think. Okay? And you must remember something. You will always get people in community who have got agendas, right? Some of them with sincerity, and some of them, they're on another line. Right? Some of them are sincere, they got a certain thought, but they got no ilm. Right? But they got a fikr, they got a thought. And they want to drive this thought. Right? For example, now they want to have Eidgah on the beachfront, family Eidgah. Right? Now it's a thought. The person may be sincere in his endeavors, what he wants to do. Right? So what they know that if they don't have an anim, they're not going to get a lot of support. Right? When you have an anim, excuse me, morana, so there's a morana there, then now people, alhamdulillah, in our country, people still have regard for the ulama. As much as what negatives people talk, but majority people still have regard for the ulama. Right? So, any modernist also who wants to drive an idea, he needs an anim. So, who they look at is a young anim, is qualified, intelligent person, is giving wonderful bayans. Right? You know, the awam, they judge an alim by the bayan he gives. What can bayan he can give? To them, that's a top morana. So, the person is giving good bayans, everything. So now, they say, no, this is a good jockey. This is a good jockey now for our horse. So the person has come out of madrasa and he's very enthusiastic. He wants to serve deen. So they come to him, but you know what? The problem with the youth. Nobody is doing anything about the youth. You know, we need to have one soccer tournament for the youth. You know, get them in, rope them in Ramadan Sharif. No, have one soccer tournament. They have a prize Saturday night. Otherwise, the boys are going to the clubs, man. They're going. Now, you as a young alim, you say, yeah, you know what? It's a big fikr, this. Now, immediately, you go back to your elders. Immediately, you think, do I have more fikr for deen? Does this man have more fikr for deen? Or did my muhtamim sahab have more fikr for deen? This man got so much fikr for deen, but what he is doing with his life. And my Muhtamim sahab, he had fikr for deen from the time he's a child. He went to study, he went all the time, he gave his whole life for deen, and he's still giving his life for deen. He put his children also in the same line of deen. So must be he got more fikr. So let me go back to him. Don't get carried away with these things. That's how these fitnas start. They just need one jockey to put on the horse. So either the person is tempted with money, sometime now when smart masjid comes up, say, by you imam a position, you know, your father too is so happy, maro poiro, muttu masjid ma. My son now is going to be in this big masjid, imam sahab, now the father too will push the son. No, you take the post. But now when you go there, by hands are tied after that. You can't talk. They will dictate to you and tell you what to say, what not to say, what you just have to agree to. And then when the pious people of the community come to you and tell you, but how are you allowing this? I'm just making imam there. But you carry on making the imam there. Why? When you see he's going in the wrong direction and you can't do anything about it, then you should leave. Why are you staying there? Got used to the money. Got used to the fame. So now you have to remain there. So remember this thing what Umar al-Nawm is saying, that stay with the Jamaat. Stay with the Jamaat. A lot of times we mix things up, right? The people who moved away from the Jamaat, we're not talking about the Tablighi Jamaat, but they also included in our works. But here we're talking about the body of the Muslim Ummah. So the people who moved away, right, they created the problem. So then you get the ulama will speak. Then we say, the ulama is splitting the Ummah. Because these people didn't play the, you know, the victim card. For example, take South Africa now, the older people will know. For umpteen years, right, from the time we can remember, everybody understood TV to be haram. Nobody understood TV to be permissible. Right? Now you get somebody who comes out with an idea and he moves away from the Jamaat. The whole Jamaat of Mu'mineen knew that TV is haram. Now you get one person coming, moving away from the Jamaat. Now he goes and starts his own thing. Now you will get a percentage of the Ummah who their nafs is overpowering them. They want the TV. So they'll be very happy with this now. Now we can have TV. So now you will get some senior ulama, they will speak out against it. So when you speak out against it, it don't sound nice. It comes heavy now. Sledgehammer now. So then what do you say now? Oh, these people, they're splitting the Ummah. Can't they just respect the different views? They're splitting the Ummah. So you must understand the things in perspective. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that Shaitan is with the single person. He is further away from two people. You'd rather be with two people than be alone. Then Umar radiallahu anhu said, a man should not be alone with a woman. Na mahram woman, a man should not be alone with a woman, because Shaitan would be the third. The third one there would be Shaitan. And whoever among you is pleased with his good deeds, that means if Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq to do something good, and this gives you happiness, not pride, happiness, that Allah is using me for good. Right? And the person is grieved with his gunas, that if he committed a guna, it hurts him now. Why did I slip up? Why did I commit the sin? Right? Then this person is a believer. These are the words of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this of being alone with a strange woman, we must all be very careful about this. Very, very careful about it. Sometime, even a person in a professional field, a person is a lawyer, a doctor, whatever, now they say, no, patient confidence, client confidence. Right? So now you have to sit alone with the client. But it's a very dangerous situation. It's a very dangerous situation. Sometimes even an alim now, lady phones, say, well, I've got marital problem now. I have to talk to you. Now Hazrat thinks, no, I have to sort the whole world's problems out. But in going to solve the problem, he's compromising himself. Now he's sitting alone with that lady and having a meeting. This is very dangerous. Very dangerous. The third one would be Shaitan. Whether he's a customer, whether he's a client, whether he's a patient, whatever. Never be alone with a strange woman. The third one, there would be Shaitan. When Umar radiallahu anhu arrived in Sham, he asked Abu Ubaidah. Now Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he is the Amir, right? Of the whole force, there's a huge army, Muslim army, that is operating in the Levant, right? In different areas, right? They are operating. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu is appointed by Umar radiallahu anhu as the Amir. So he tells Abu Ubaidah that take me to your house. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu replied, what are you going to do there? Why you want to go to my house? What are you going to do there? Perhaps you just want to make your eyes shed tears over me. However, Umar radiallahu anhu insisted. He said, no, you take me to your house. When he entered the home, now this is the Amir, right? The Amir of the whole army in the Levant. When he entered the home, he found it empty. Nothing in the house. He's asking Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, that where are your things? Where's your things? I do not see anything except a lamp, an old water skin, and you are the governor of the Levant, you are the governor of Sham. Do you have food? Do you even have food in your house? So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he went to a basket and he took out some crumbs. Umar radiallahu anhu was overcome. He started weeping, he started crying. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said to him, I told you, why are you going to come to my house? You just want to cry over me. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you should believe what people report to you about me. Those people who are telling you wrong things about me, believe them. Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Abu Ubaidah, the world changed all of us besides you. So all of us now, as the wealth started coming in, so our living standards improved. Obviously, Umar radiallahu anhu himself was a Zahid. Right? And Umar radiallahu anhu, one of his governors, brought to him, you know, like now if you have to go to, in the old days, now everything is available everywhere. But in the old days, if somebody went to Maputo, they come back with cash notes. Yeah. And if they were a little bit naughty, then they came back with prawns. They hid it somewhere, you know. Duck it in the car and all that, you know, drink prawns and come, LM prawns and cashew nuts. So the person goes wherever, so the thing that people go to Madinah Munawwara, they bring the khajur and come, you go Makkah Mukarramah, you bring the zamzam and come. What is special to that place, you bring that and come. So one of Umar Radiallahu's governors brought something special of that area, what you get in that area, brought it for him, so Umar brought this for you to eat. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, do you have enough to give every subject of mine? He said, no. He said, then I won't partake of it. I mustn't have anything which my subjects can't have. I mustn't have a higher life than them. Imam Zahabi rahimahullah, he comments on this incident. He said, I swear by Allah, this is the real sincere zuhud. It is not, zuhud is not to deny ourselves luxuries while being broke and penniless. A person doesn't have anything, so now he can't buy anything. He said, no, I'm a Zahid. He's not a Zahid. Allah made him Zahid. Allah helped him out. A real zuhud is that person who can afford it. Allah has given him. And he said, no, I'll just stay a couple of notches lower. Now we can't judge anybody. See, you can't, we can't judge. Sometimes we may see a person, he's driving one luxury car, right? See a person, for example, he's driving one 7 series BMW now, right? Now you say, look at this man, he's making israf, look at him, he's in love with the world, right? But that person, when he was buying that car, his option was to buy a Rolls Royce. He could afford a Rolls Royce. So he said to himself, you know what, well, I must spend so much money on a car, let me just buy one 7 series. See? Sure, I must spend so much money now, buy one Rolls Royce and all that, let me just buy one 7 series. So, on the other hand, you get a person, he got no money. got no money. He got one vehicle, maybe he's Kataru, Karkaru, but he's carrying on, taking A to B, A to A, whatever. And now he say, no, man, you know what? I think now I want to buy that new Polo came out, I want to buy it. And it's a basic car. Polo is not like anything. But he got love for the world. He is going to buy something he can't afford. Can't afford it. He's going to buy it. He got love for it. Now you see him driving a Polo or Toyota Corolla or whatever. Say, look at this man, how simple he is. But he's not simple. He got love for the world. That man with his 7 series is simple. So we mustn't judge. We must look in ourselves. Because we only know our situation. We don't know the next man's situation. We know our situation. We must check ourselves. We can't do what Sahaba did. We can't do. Right? But what we must do is, I can afford that. It's come few notches lower. I can afford that. It's come few notches lower. That will be our zone. G. The peace treaty that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu ratified, we discussed this peace treaty previously. In fact, if Allah Ta'ala takes you to Palestine, then there is a masjid there, it's called Masjid Umar. So you must go to that masjid, and outside that masjid, this peace treaty is there. The whole peace treaty, which Umar radiallahu anhu signed with the Romans there when he went to Aqsa. So this peace treaty showed that Islam is a tolerant religion. So it's very tolerant. It doesn't force others to believe what they don't want to. It also shows that Muslims dealt with the Christians present in Jerusalem in a manner which they did not expect. Because normally when conquerors come, they impose. They force, they kill, they belittle. Right? Muslims didn't do this. When Umar radiallahu anhu presented Islam, he didn't do anything of the sort. Islam does not force anyone to enter it. Nor does it accept the faith of anyone who does not believe in it of his own free will. Iman is not something that can be imposed on people. This is why when Sahaba Nanum went in jihad also, they first went, they offered the people iman. Person doesn't want to accept, then no problem. You pay jizya. You see, the object of jihad is to establish the deen of Allah Ta'ala on earth. Because if the deen of Allah Ta'ala is not established, you'll have chaos. That was happening today. There's chaos in the world because the deen of Allah Ta'ala is not being established. That's the object of jihad. So Sahaba Nanum came, they offered iman. If you accept iman, we got no problem. We don't want your land, we don't want your gold, we don't want your money, we don't want nothing of yours. You keep it, you carry on. Long as you're a believer and you establish Sharia in your country, in your land, that's all we want. Now if the person is not prepared to become a believer, then right, no problem, then we will rule. You carry on. You want to live your life as a Christian, you want to live your life as a Jew, you carry on. You do what you're doing. We will not harm you, we will not break your synagogues, we will not destroy your churches, we will not harm your people, but we will rule this land according to the law of Allah. Now if they don't accept that, then now the sword will decide. Now we are prepared to lay our lives down to establish the law of Allah. See? So Islam didn't force anybody to accept, but the force was to live your life according to Allah's law. Because this world belongs to Allah, it don't belong to you. It belongs to Allah Ta'ala. So His law was reigned supreme, and He has made us His khulafa on this earth. So that's our duty, to ensure that His law is being supreme. Ji, sometimes a person may pose as a mu'min, but in reality he's not. That's what you call a munafiq. So although he's posing as a Muslim, but is his iman accepted? His iman is not accepted. Ji. Okay, let's stop here.